Welcome to Depth of Field. I'm your host, Penny De Los Santos. I'm here virtually with Terso Gamboa. He's a creative director in New York City. He's worked across some of the top magazine publishers, including Condé Nast, Hearst, Time Inc., Meredith. He's designed 25 plus different magazines, to name a few: Teen Vogue, Wired, Travel and Leisure, WWD.
Women's Wear Daily.
Cool, cool, cool. He's a creative director. He's formerly the vice president of creative at Fairchild Media Group, based in New York City. Terso is an incredible source of inspiration for me. We connect all the time, and I couldn't wait to have him here where we could connect in a more public space and kind of just talk about inspiration and finding it and looking for it. Anyway, Terso, welcome to Depth of Field.
Thank you for having me.
It's a Saturday morning. It's a beautiful day out.
It is.
Did you sign up for your tennis courts already?
I did. I finished playing early this morning, 6:38. So.
Wow, that's impressive. Full disclosure, Terso he's a client of mine. We've worked together, and I've always enjoyed the space you create on the set. You know, it feels very inclusive, feels very positive, non-threatening. It's just a really nice space. And I love that. I love working with you because it's one of the many reasons I love working with you. So I just wanted to let everybody know that I feel like Terso brings so many things to the table. That's one of them. But he and I connect a lot, and we talk about inspiration, or I should say, I often talk to you about like how things are going, But I wanted to just ask you, like, where do you go for inspiration? Like, what are the things you do? It could be practices or.
Penny, you'll relate to this. It's like, I eat out a lot. And yeah. So, you know, there's a lot of stories through food. And I think that is like, I always connect to culture through food, travel, and then even music. But in terms of inspiration into my work, it's always through food. You know, like when I eat at a restaurant, like I look at the design of the menus. And I think there's like this, you know, there's a reasoning behind that. And I find inspiration through design like that. But even the spaces of restaurants are, you know, really incredible. I think travel in general, if anything that gets you to travel, is really the best thing for designers.
I think that's so true. What do you think it is about travel that inspires you?
It gets me out of, you know, we've lived in New York for so long that everything we see, you kind of take for granted a little bit. And I think in the design world, everything is purposeful. So we're just not, you know, here and observing, you know, we're participating in the design. And when you travel, you're participating in the city and that experience versus where if you're at your home city, you're kind of just walking around and it's like, I know what that looks like. I've been there, you know, multiple times, but I think there's a purposeful observation of experiencing the city.
Yeah. I also think there's something about it too, that just, I don't know, for me, I become introspective, you know, I imagine how people's lives are there.
Yeah.
And there's something about that that helps me just get out of my own way. And just open up, because it's like you said, it's this new experience.
It is a new experience.
Do you feel like you've traveled much since COVID?
No. I mean, I don't know. I did 3 Europe trips last year. So it was, I feel like that's a lot, you know, considering, but not that much, you know, I'm not as much as I used to.
Yeah.
But like enough, you know, at least once a year, once or twice a year.
Yeah. I think that's maybe what's happening for me. I haven't traveled since COVID. I mean, I've traveled in the country, but. And even that, it's been like the same kind of like to go see family, come back, you know, but I haven't done anything out of the country. And I think that's where I feel the most inspired too, is when I travel and just experiencing a different culture beyond what I know. So, so meaningful.
I think like changing the environment really just, it does change you also and how you do things. And I think it's just, if you get in a rut or if you're looking for something new, like any experience in that capacity does affect you and it affects your work ultimately.
And so when you come back from a successful trip, so how does that, what do you take from that travel experience back into your workspace?
2017, and I don't think we worked together just yet then. It was right before you got your Leica and I got my Leica.
Oh, yeah.
So we connected there.
Yeah.
But I actually, at some point, I stopped taking photos with my iPhone. And I started only taking photos purposely with an actual camera. And, you know, when I come back, I go through all of the photos, like the entire film, every single video, and I edit down. And a lot of that I archive away into a photo library of research, you know, like here were the colors of, you know, a certain area or just things like that. I know on TikTok right now, there's this viral trend of like, what's your beauty haul from City Pharma? But I actually go around and I do a typography haul.
Oh, I love that.
And I take photos of posters around the city. I take photos of the addresses and the signs to just see, you know, how things are.
Wow. I love that. And so, yeah, that would make sense. And then you could refer to it and it kind of does influence your design.
Right.
And how you work. Wow. God, I find that if I'm shooting in the field, I'm like working constantly. So when I'm, it just feels like it can feel like work for me. So it's different, but maybe I just need to reframe that for myself. Anytime I pick up a camera, it can feel like I'm, you know,
it feels like work to you.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I mean, it's work. So
yeah.
Sometimes the iPhone, even the iPhone feels like, oh, I need to, you know, I immediately go into details. Composition, you know, I start to just go through kind of this idea of what makes a great photo. And I don't know that I feel like I have to make this meaningful picture rather than maybe just document what I'm seeing, which feels like really refreshing, you know?
That's fair. That's fair.
Yeah.
I mean, I wish I had those abilities to do that.
Well, I mean, I think you do, but you're documenting for reference and inspiration. And I love that idea. Something for me to think about. All right. So what are some, like when you're in a creative rut or when you're just feeling uninspired, like do you have a practice that you do to kind of help you move through it?
I mean, I think there are practices, you know, I look through, you know, that I do look through that archive of travel, or, you know, going to a museum regularly is really helpful in getting out of a creative rut, is to just surround yourself with other creative things. You know, I can't even imagine designers that say, I'm in a rut, and then they just kind of sit there and wait, or they look online. And, you know, online, I think online, it kind of has to be more like calculated, if that makes sense. Because in order to find inspiration, you have to think about what to search for and go down that road versus, you know, if you go to a museum, like things are happening kind of happenstance. And that's kind of, you want ideas to come to you naturally.
Right. And someone's actually thoughtfully curated this thing for you.
But also, you know, contrary to the last question, if I'm in a rut, like I will book a trip so fast to just, you know, get there. And I almost always have at least one or two museum days for my travels. So, you know, something to just spend. I mean, I could spend like a day, like if I don't eat lunch and just spend the day at the museums, it's the best day.
Wow. I don't do that enough. And here we live in New York. I just don't do it enough. I need to do it more. I love that. Yeah. So you just get online and you're like, where's the cheapest ticket?
Or yeah, like, yeah, like, but anywhere, you know, like, I think it's even.
And you always, it's out of the country. Is that the preference?
It's typically the preference. Cause yeah. I know myself that like when I need a break, like I need like a clean break. And so if, you know, before I could hide and be like, I don't have service, don't call me here.
Yeah.
You know, which is nice to like, you know, fully unplug, but it could even be as like taking the train down to Philly or DC and, you know, just spending a day outside of New York out of there. I mean, you know how I am, but like, even like going to Brooklyn, it's like a change of pace.
Yeah. You gotta bring your passport. Yeah.
It's just, you know, I would say like, get out of your environment. Over time, I've learned to like consistently be doing things out of habit that, you know, a creative rut happens less. You know, I think it's also dependent on what's going on in your life, but there are ways to kind of not prevent it, but just make it less bad.
Mm-hmm. So you kind of have a routine and you're aware, you're really self-aware when you start to maybe go down that path of darkness.
I mean, I also have, outside of a library of like, you know, research and things that I've taken, I also have like a back pocket library of ideas that never saw the light of day. And so I go through that as like, you know, do we resurrect one of these things into, you know, a new project? Because it never got anywhere. And there are so many good ideas thrown out the door.
Yeah. Wow. I love that, Terso. So you keep a notebook with your ideas and you just kind of reference it when you need to.
Yeah. I mean, and the notebook of all the ideas that I wish came to fruition, but never did. So, I mean, no idea will ever fit a new template, but, you know, you can riff off of that and turn it into something new.
Wow. Giving me so many great things. So you're looking around, you look for inspiration, you travel, and you also keep a book of ideas, which I know sounds like, duh, why not? I have a book of notes, you know, whenever I'm having like a meeting or something, I have this book. But I don't keep a log of the ideas I didn't pursue, which actually seems like such a great idea.
You know, it is kind of, and this is something that I think of, and I probably would do like a video series on this, is like all the ideas that I wish were projects. Because I think that, you know, there's sometimes when, you know, you're pitching something and you're so excited about it, but nobody else is. And it's kind of like, is it a bad idea or is it just the wrong project? And so, like when I worked with you at Karen Katie, you know, the amount of times I tried to use a script typeface in my designs and they never went for it.
They weren't into it.
9 years. Never once let me run a script typeface. But
interesting. But you still tried.
Still tried. Started running script typefaces. Everything was fine. So So it wasn't a bad idea, but like, you know, there are these things. And, you know, I don't also know, like, if you work this way as a creative, but like, I never expected myself to have these like periods in my design career. Mm-hmm. And so there's these periods where it's just like, I'm super into like blocky typography or, you know, old fashioned serifs again. And you can see, like, I know every moment of my work when I did it, because I have periods where I was like, this is all I'm doing for the next 8 months.
Wow.
Because you know, it's like, that's where you learn how to really work with things, right? Like, you know, I don't want to do things once. And it's just like, I feel like if I've mastered certain areas of design, then those kind of become the crutch when I get into those ruts. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that absolutely does. I think it's similar in photography. You can kind of have your baseline approach, the way you kind of tackle everything, but it's a crutch too, you know, to approach something with fresh eyes is kind of like what you want to do every time, but it's not always, you don't always like have that in mind when you're approaching something. So you've worked with a ton of photographers, a lot of different stylists. Is there a common denominator between the most successful kind of creative people you've worked with?
I think it depends. I think it depends on how we want to define success. Right. Because there are, you know, photographers, for example, like Inez Invenoud or like a Peggy Sirota or an Annie Leibovitz, and you hire them for their work and you kind of want nothing to do. Not that you want to release the project, but like you hire them to do whatever it is they do. Right. And you kind of just like take over. And they also, like, some of them don't want you to be part of that process. And so like there is that world where you become so niche in your craft that people hire you to just be you. When it comes to, you know, the photographers that I like to work with that are more collaborative, I would say it's like the biggest thing is to like leave the ego at the door, kind of, is like being open. I mean, so many times I'm on set with you and the photograph that we end up with was not what I had in mind when I walked through the door. And I found that like that's when we had the most successful results, was that we were kind of creating things in the moment.
So like being collaborative.
Being collaborative.
Leaving the ego at the door.
It is. I mean.
Positive work environment.
Positive work environment.
A lot of egos in this city.
There is. I mean, it's New York.
Yeah.
It's New York.
Yeah. I always say it's more like the people I gravitate to are the ones that are, it's just a non-threatening environment. You know, it's okay to be you. It's okay to not know the answer and to make mistakes, but authentically just be yourself.
Right.
I was at a dinner party last night and I mean, yeah, it's New York, you know, people put on airs, but I always try to I just try to sit with someone who's just going to like want to have a great conversation and is low stakes in the sense that I'm not going to have to like, we're not going to have to volley for who's.
Right. Like who's doing what, which I've been in those situations. I'm sure you have as well. And it's not that, you know, I don't book, you know, that photographer moving forward, but it is a different interaction. And I think, you know, I do have to base things when I'm booking a photographer, like who's the client also. You know, if I have a really tough client, for me personally, like I can't book a photographer that I know I'm going to have a little bit of a ruffle with on set. Like it's just not, like I can't manage two people. Mm-hmm. So it does unfortunately affect who I have on set with me. Mm-hmm. But a majority of the clients are not difficult. Yeah. So, you know, it's like, fine. You know, I mean, everyone does great work and, you know, that's why they're there, but it does add a factor when there is a little bit of a hurdle. I do think the hurdles come down quite a bit over time. You know, there's some photographers that, you know, the first or second shoots I've been on with them were a little bit of a, you know, rocky relationship, but then after, you know, it became so seamless. So.
Wow. So you, even though you had kind of a, maybe not, oh, this is like in the course of one kind of photo shoot, it could start out rocky, it evolves, and then it becomes maybe positive.
You know what? It's, well, because we do go back to the agent. Like a lot of agents will come to us after, you know, especially if it's first time working with a photographer, you know, how are they on set? And, you know, sometimes it would be like, you know, it was a flat no, I don't want to work with them again. But like, I think for me, like that's just an extreme case. You know, a lot of other photographers that I work with, and I'm sure, you know, you've worked with stylists, et cetera, come through recommendations, and I do trust the network that I have. And so, you know, if they're getting work, like there has to be something there. And I'm always curious on, you know, maybe it was just a miscommunication during some part of the process, or maybe they weren't into the project and I have to find something else for them. So, I mean, I would say that the interaction has to be so bad for me to just not want to work with them again.
Yeah, that makes sense. You want to work with people who are, I would imagine, obviously talented, creative, but also easy to work with for the most
part. Super easy.
Yeah.
I mean, what's helpful is that, you know, I also have, it's not just a photographer, like you have the stylist. And so it's like, if you have a few people on set, that's like kind of gelling. Mm-hmm. You're not just arguing the whole day. And, you know, there's not really that much argument. You're that or create a photo, you know, like we're not.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's just end the day with beautiful photography.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. In your opinion, what is your advice for staying fresh and staying on top of the game creatively?
I mean, I think one, constantly work. I think I mentioned this in another conversation with you, is like, getting paid or not, like, you know, we're not really here. We're here to get paid what we're worth, but at the same time, like, we're really here for the creative projects. And so I think it's like, you know, constantly work, and, you know, it's kind of easier said than done, but work does come along the way with that. And so if you're just designing, like, design things for free, mm-hmm. you know, or just for yourself, not for free, right?
Like, yeah.
For yourself. And then be aware of what everyone else is doing. I think there needs to be some gauge on where you stand. And I think that's how you know where you need to push yourself to be.
Yeah.
You know, I would say that I started as a print designer. And then when I saw that the industry started shifting towards digital, then I was like, okay, well, you know, I can't just stay in this print space. You know, I have to learn this new skill, etc. Mm-hmm. I mean, I had some web design back then when I was in school, but I took interaction design, I took UX design, and then I shifted into that space when I was at the Foundry. So like, you kind of have to grow with the industry as it grows on its own.
So that brings up another question. So where do you feel like advertising is going? Do you sense a shift?
I actually sense a divide, which is, I sense a divide in the old creative directors, you know, myself. I'm bucketing myself there because of how I function, is because I learned from, you know, the older creative directors and like how business is supposed to be. And, you know, we pride ourselves on a certain type of work that we do. And I think a lot of them aren't interested in this kind of like new, it is more fun, it is more accessible, it's more approachable, but it's foreign. And then I think this new generation, what we do is foreign to them. So it's just kind of like these two worlds that you're either in one bucket or the other. Like, I haven't really found any gray area in between.
Do you sense that, like, is it mostly going social now? Is there still some, I mean, I know there's some print, but how much are you seeing, like, a massive shift? And it's like, wow, after the pandemic, it's just really become like such a strong push for more social campaigns?
It's push for more social. What I'm actually seeing in terms of like print design specifically is events. Because it's very difficult to, you know, people in the event space, like it's such a huge thing these days is to, you know, if you're not a company having events, like it's a huge miss on connecting with people. I mean, in my last job, we did maybe 20, 25 events a year. And so, you know, like that's kind of how you create a community around your brand is having these events. And so with each event, then you need printed signage, which can include type, photography, texture, whatever the branding is going to be. I mean, if you're asking in terms of like, you know, printed photography, I do see like social is almost a requirement, but I don't know that it's like the only thing, right? Like, you know, we're trying to get eyes on things for sure. Video is really big right now, especially, you know, with the search in TikTok, everyone's kind of on video and specifically vertical video. Mm-hmm. So, you know, turn that 16:9 mm-hmm. around, which makes it more challenging than, yeah. I actually find that more challenging than when we had to shift to like a square format for photographs, because it's like so limiting.
Yeah. I find that I'm having to like the client wants a video, but wants the option to make it because it's going to run vertical. So then I've got to shoot video back enough so that they can crop it vertical and get enough of the yep. idea in the frame. It's like, yeah. What is going on? But I feel like there's a big shift. It's more social for sure. There's always a social component.
I mean, I would say, and you know, I've always loved this, especially about your work also, is older photographers. And when I say older, I mean by discipline, not by age. Shifting into video because the lighting is just better. You know, like the storytelling is better that I found. And I mean, I think that's also like my goal mostly now is bringing photographers into the video space.
Oh, cool. So can you talk about that a little bit more?
You know, for you, I mean, I can actually talk about this specifically with you is that, you know, when I was first introduced to you, it was like, you know, Penny is a food photographer. And then when I was working on that Staples campaign, you know, we were doing the desk characters mm-hmm. and I just want morning light. And I thought of you because I was like, she shoots food all the time. She shot Starbucks for me. And I was like, all I need is that morning window light onto these desk spaces and she can do that. And so when I'm booking projects, I'm also partially thinking about what work I want for the photographer to have just so that they can get that project into their portfolio.
Oh, that's cool.
So it's like,
that's nice of you.
I actually think it's like, I do this as a manager also. You know, it's like, if I see that one of my designers has too much type work in their portfolio, then I'll give them a photo shoot to work on. Or if I don't see enough video or like any areas that I think they're missing in, I give them that opportunity to be able to expand their portfolio.
Oh, that's cool. I love that.
I see the space. I do think, yes, social is a requirement, but because of social is a requirement, I think video is a requirement. So it's nice to get video work for photographers if I'm able to get it for them.
Right. All right. Here's kind of just a quick fire question. When you hear about a photographer, what's the first thing you do? Like someone says, oh, there's this photographer or whatever, and you find their name. What's the first thing you do?
I ask for the portfolio.
Okay. So you're looking at their website or...
Oftentimes their website. Yeah. If there's a PDF, that's fine.
So you're not like, let me see what they're doing on Instagram? Or do you kind of go to all like website, Instagram, just kind of see where they are?
I almost always go to the website first.
Okay. Interesting.
Just because I feel like the website's a curated experience.
For sure. Yeah.
Versus Instagram, you know, not that it's not curated. Certainly you're posting your favorite moments, but I feel like Instagram is to see the work you're doing versus like website that's presenting your portfolio.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. And let's say you're considering this photographer, you've gone to their website, and do you look at their social media as well? Does that play in at all too?
I actually don't. I don't. I'm not saying that creative.
I love that. I love that.
Because I think after looking at the portfolio, I'm pretty sure that I like have an idea already of like, you know, what caliber are they able to work with. And I guess, you know, something that I'll tangent to in this answer is also like what I'm looking for in their portfolio. And I think it's like, I look at the photographs and see what I would have done differently. Or I'll note in particular, if I see a photograph and it's like, how did they get that, you know, photo? You know, there was, I forgot his name.
That's okay.
But he had a photograph of this model posing on one of the poles on the train stations. Mm-hmm. And every single pole was lit up in the photograph, like to a T. And I was like, is this done in retouching? But like, nobody on the train is paying attention. Like, mm-hmm. everyone's just, it's like kind of each person's like a different character. And it's like, was this cast? Like, it was just a beautiful photograph, you know, really well lit. But like, I mean, and I look at, and I stop to look at something like this and think like, I couldn't do this. Like, I would be, can you do this? Can you, you know, like, it would be so curated, but it was just, I mean, did he get lucky? Like, you know, but if a photograph stops me, I almost always meet with a photographer.
It's beautiful. I love that. I don't hear that enough, I feel. I don't. I feel like it's, you know, it's a machine and you're feeding it constantly. And every day is a new day. And you're just like, whoa, you know.
Social makes it really difficult, you know, to keep up, because I think during the pandemic, I started those carousels on my social and I was like, oh my God, this is so much work.
Yeah.
I mean, it was so much work to put those together. And, you know, for people to do that daily is beyond.
Yeah. Oh, it's a lot, you know. I try to post 5 days a week.
Wow.
I think it's part of a healthy practice. I mean, I think I'm not sure how much it contributes, but I do think at the end of the day, if you're a photographer in 2023, you're a brand.
Yeah.
You know, we're all a brand, basically, if to a certain degree, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
All right. I don't want to take too much of your time. I have one final question and then I want to just ask you if you want to add anything, but do you have any advice just for, you know, a lot of the people that are going to be listening to the podcast, I imagine are, you know, mid-career, maybe even starting, but similar to me, I think, you know, they have ups and downs in their work. And I just wanted to ask you, you know, what advice do you have for any creative person out there? Just in general, if you could sit with them and just like impart just advice on what to be doing.
I think the advice is different depending on what level you're at, but overall, you know, like focus on the work first, right? Because, you know, I see that, you know, and I've heard this from designers as well, is, you know, there's not that many opportunities, but like, if you do stick with it long enough, that opportunity actually does come. And if you're not ready for it because you haven't done the work, you know, to be ready for it, you know, that was kind of your ticket.
Focus on the work.
So it's really like a focus on the work, you know, and it's not about, you know, clout, like, you know, don't overlook projects for clients, because, you know, I will say, like, as the projects that I've worked on, I don't control which projects come through the door either. Like, it's not like I can just choose a brand and say, let's partner with them. I mean, obviously there's brands that I work with regularly, but, you know, the execution is different.
Yeah.
You know, if you're a small photographer, like maybe you're a photographer looking for work and you haven't, and you do portraits of like, you know, small business owners or something, you know, in 2015, 2016, we had that push of like the doers and the movers and the, you know, like that was the time to get your foot in the door.
Yeah.
Because there was so much work that came down that way. And so it's like, you really needed to be able to focus on your work prior to that moment. And then if you kind of missed it, it's kind of tough to do it that way. I guess it's like, I would say the portfolio, because I focus on that a lot, is if it's a bad photograph, do not put it in there. Like, a photograph can actually ruin a portfolio, because it adds like this like tiny seed of doubt on, you know, what happened with the other work and like, why is this in there? So I would say, you know, tighten up the portfolio that, you know, and only put work that you're really like proud of and that you want to present, which is also like why I don't go to the Instagram account, is because, you know, if you wanted it in your portfolio, you would have put it up on your website at the end of the day. You know, some people have great Instagram accounts and have awful portfolios. And you know, and unfortunately, like, there's so much money on the line when it comes to a client that money can't be allocated based off the Instagram profile.
That makes a lot of sense. Do you see a fine line between a content creator and a photographer.
There is. But it's because, you know, I mean, I'm doing my own content creation also. And I think that the focus is different. So like one isn't necessarily worse than the other, but like the content creator focuses on the content specifically. You know, the photographer focuses on capturing the content.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do think that it would be beneficial if the content creator focused on creating content, but also knew how to capture it in a more eloquent way. But I think they go more hand in hand than anything.
Yeah, I do too. I feel like I'm seeing more photographers calling themselves content creators. To me, that just means you understand the, you know, the social media language and space. And it means that you understand how to monetize, or trend-wise, how to monetize something, you know, a product, place.
It's true.
It's interesting, though.
It's kind of similar in the design space. You know, I would say part of it also, like content creators, like your client is just kind of your audience, versus like photography, like we have a client
mm-hmm.
to work with, yeah. which affects the work. And it's a different factor when it comes to it. You know, if I'm comparing this to designers online, you know, designers online can design whatever they want and it can be beautiful. You know, it's not that I couldn't, you know, produce, you know, in some capacities, there are things that I couldn't produce as beautifully as they do. But because there's a client that I'm working with, you know, there are, you know, stipulations that come with it. There's limitations on what I can do. And so I think like in that aspect, you know, being a photographer with a client, that's like the more curated and practical route of the work versus like a content creator. It's kind of like fair game. It's like the tiny things in craft also, right? Like if you miss you have a bad reflection on your online content, you know, your audience isn't going to really rip you apart and say, oh, you missed this part. But when you have a client, they're going to be pissed.
Yeah.
Right. Like this wasn't perfect. This is messy. So like there is a level of craft that needs to happen between the two. And, you know, I'm not knocking it, but that is the difference between, you know, what a content creator does versus what a photographer or designer does.
It's interesting. I want to ask you that question in like 2 years again, you know, because I think it's going to change. It's changing so fast. It's interesting.
I do think that because, and, you know, I know you've been creating a lot of content on your Instagram also. I do think that our approach is different because of where we've come from.
Yeah.
Right. Like you can never turn, I mean, you kind of said earlier in this interview that you can't turn your mind off. Right. So if you're creating content, the photography aspect of it is just going to be part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, for me, I think that, you know, if I'm creating content, it could never be ugly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like there's, you know, it's actually harder to do that because we've had to work at a certain level,
mm-hmm.
you know, for some time. So it would take me longer to purposely make things look bad.
It's hard.
You know?
Yeah. I had a client this summer who wanted me to make user generated content. So they wanted it to feel like someone who doesn't use the phone every day as, you know, a medium to capture. So they didn't.
It's hard.
Yeah, it was really hard. You know, I didn't put it on a stabilizer, and but even still, it felt polished. You know, because my instinct was to make it pretty.
Right.
That was very challenging, and I think it brings up like I don't know. You know, I just feel it is a different language, and it is a different set of tools when you start. I guess is it creating content? I mean, I feel like there is a different language. There are different trends in that language.
Right.
Yeah, it's an interesting time for sure. Do you have anything you want to add? Any closing thoughts or ideas?
I mean, I know the times are tough right now, and it's kind of like this journey that I'm going on all over again since I went freelance recently. It's just the fact that like, just stick with the craft because it's what brought us into this industry and it's what's going to keep us going. Who was that photographer? Andrew Sotheby, I did remember him, was on set with him. And he's like, I don't look at the bill anymore. He's like, I don't care what you're paying me. And I never know what you're paying me because he's like, if I'm shooting, income will be coming from somewhere.
Yeah.
And I think that really set with me. That's just like, it's true. And, you know, now I freelancing for the moment, like financially, it's like fine, right? It's not as much as I used to make, certainly, but like I'm loving the journey. Like I feel so much more fulfilled now. And like, this is why we went into, you know, why I went to design is because of this. And so I know the economy is not great, and like, it's easy to, you know, lose that focus. And, you know, some people may even say that that's a privilege to be able to have that decision, but I kind of rub that off a little bit because I was broke when I first moved to New York, you know, and that was the tactic that I used, was just focusing on the work. And then, you know, the money eventually came later on. And so now that I did that again, you know, we took a huge dip in salary in June, and now I'm kind of crawling back simply because I'm focusing on just working, you know, and I'm doing favors for people. I'm designing content online. I'm just designing like every single day, just keeping up with it and not keeping up with it. It's just like, it's just kind of weird to not design.
Oh yeah, it totally makes sense.
Like, it's just like weird to say, oh, I didn't design anything today. Like, what do you mean?
So, I love that. Just focus on the work. That's excellent advice. It's easy enough, but it actually, you can forget that. I forget that.
Yeah.
Focus on the work. Yeah.
Like, I've just had so many moments where, you know, like, especially with the pandemic, like, I think people care now more about fulfillment than anything else. And you're never going to get that fulfillment unless you enjoy your work first.
It's true. I think, yeah, I mean, everybody, I certainly feel it. You and I talk about this a lot. It does feel like it's a little downtrodden right now.
Yeah.
And focusing on the work and just like going through the motions and not giving up, you know, it's like, yeah, you know, like you cook more at home, you know, you tighten your belt strap a little bit and you just focus on the work. Sure. And I do think, actually, if I'm honest, that is the sweet spot, because I do feel like breakthroughs happen in that space when you do feel like you have less and you don't feel like you have much hope, but you're just still believing.
It's true. It's true. I mean, I'm expecting, I don't know if I want to go back to an office and do work, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
But I don't want to take away that opportunity if at a later, you know, like to your point, if you were going to have this conversation with me in 2 years, I'll be a different person. But, you know, in 4 months' time, I'm going to have a different mindset. And, you know, if a job were to come around and I'm interested, I don't want to cut off that opportunity because I haven't been doing work since then.
Right.
You know, I did a retouching project the other day. Like, it's not design. It does keep your mind, you know, in that space, at least.
I think that's great. I mean, that is incredible advice. And I think it's a perfect place for us to kind of wrap up and stop there. Think about it. Focus on the work, everybody. Keep your head down. Don't give up. Look at things. Take a trip. Get a new, fresh perspective. Incredible. Terso, always, always like such a beautiful, inspirational time when I talked to you. And I wanted everybody to feel that when we connected here. So thank you for your time and for doing this. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me anytime.
Well, Terso Gamboa, thank you so much.
Thank you, Penny.
To everybody watching and listening, thank you all. This is Depth of Field Podcast. Thanks for all the support, and I wish you all a beautiful day.